Welcome to this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Bago Community Schools, Byron Sanders. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Byron Sanders. Welcome, Byron.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about your school district to start off with. Not many people necessarily may know a lot about Bago Community Schools or the Jimtown community. So help us understand a little bit more about your community and your district.
Happy to do that. So Jimtown is nestled in the northwest corner of Elkhart County.
All right.
Also, that would be northern central Indiana. We're surrounded by larger school corporations.
Okay.
And so we have Penn Harris Madison
yep.
to the west, Elkhart Public Schools to the north, Concord Community Schools mm-hmm. to the east, and then Wanee Public Schools to the south. And so we're this little, probably described as a bedroom community
okay.
in that area. We are predominantly of homes, very little financial taxation through businesses
mm-hmm.
or very little agriculture, although I think people would like to argue that's a rural community. It's a bedroom community,
sure.
and people come home every single evening there to live, and they work in the industries in the region. And so we have about 1,900 students. We have four schools on the same campus.
Oh, wow.
We have, which is pretty special. My kids went to school there, and so I knew that I could look at 360, and my wife's a teacher there as well. And so I could look at 360 and see all three of my children and my wife on
yeah.
campus, and that was pretty special.
So is your office also on the same campus?
It is on the campus
okay.
as well. It's on the far east side of the campus, and so it was an old school that was closed and reutilized as a district office. And so, yeah, we're all there, and that's pretty special.
So that would lead me to just to make a supposition that was that – property that was donated to the school district at one time that everybody just figured this is a great place to put the campus, or was there this vision at one point that we're just going to buy this large amount of acreage that's going to be able to house all of our students?
Well, I think a little bit of both of that.
Okay.
I know that Bago is a relatively old school district. It was a product of consolidation
okay.
in around the turn of the 20th century.
Okay.
It's been in existence well over 100 years now.
Mm.
And so we graduated, I think, our 105th class this last June.
Yeah.
And so it's been there a long, long time. I think, as I recall, it was a consolidation of about seven schools into this common school that became Bago Community Schools.
Wow.
We have some pictures on the wall where we have composites of graduating classes from 1936, 37, 38, and the school hadn't decided what name it was going to have. So it was
big decision.
Bago High School, Jamestown High School, Jimtown High School. Eventually it became Jimtown, and that's who we affectionately see ourselves as. We're the Jimtown Jimmies. And so often Indiana recognizes us as the Jimmies. They don't often recognize Bago as our name, but that's who we are.
So what is a Jimmy?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's all kinds of wonder about what a Jimmy is. I think we've decided that we like the name Jimmy, referring to the rail industry. We have a major hub for
okay.
our rail yards just in the northern part of our community.
Yep.
And people who typically worked on the rail were called Jimmies. And,
interesting.
And so we own that one. We also know that we're from a town called Jamestown.
Yes.
And it seems logical that it's a nickname.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy is a nickname for James. And so I know the founding name of the town came from the last name was James.
Okay.
And so who really knows? But we like the rail yard idea, and so we own that.
I've always loved knowing the history of places where I've been, and I think that's great that you have learned the history. What brought you to Bago? What was that? Was it a career path? Was it family? What brought you to
sure.
Bago?
You know, I spent nearly 20 years in South Bend Community School Corporation. So I was an urban administrator, mm-hmm. urban teacher. I was a product of the Plan Z era through Dr. Joan Raymond. You mm-hmm. may recall her. Mm-hmm. And so she was consolidating and reorganizing the school district. She was had a big bond capacity and was mm-hmm. renovating all the schools. And so she had a focus that teachers were teachers. And so she was very willing to upend people's
sure.
climate in their buildings, redistribute teachers yeah. where they were needed so that she could efficiently manage South Bend Community Schools. As a result,
yeah.
in 5 years, I was in 4 different high schools as a teacher. Every summer I was laid off. I'd get my sick checks that every teacher tended to uh-huh. get in the summer.
Yep.
And we ate hot dogs all summer, wondering if we'd be picked back up in the fall.
Wow.
It's a horrible way to raise wow. a family. And yes. so my wife and I thought that, well, maybe if I became a principal, or at least I got an administrative license, I'd have a little control, a little yeah. choice. Yeah. I really think that's what drove me into administration, if I'm honest. But I landed there. I've spent 20 years as an administrator. I was blessed to serve as principal of 3 different high schools, both Washington High School mm-hmm. and South Bend. Mm-hmm. I got to start a traditional school for South Bend schools at Jefferson Intermediate, became Jefferson Traditional School. That was a thrill. Later, Jim Du Bois, who was the superintendent mm-hmm. yep. of Bago Community Schools, needed a principal, asked me to give it a shot. I lived in our community. My kids already attended Jimtown Schools, and so that made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And then I became the principal of Jimtown High School. Then he shocked me and told me he was going to retire, and the board thought that I would be a good candidate for that position, and although I had to compete against 13 people for the job, I did end up landing the position as superintendent, and I've been there for 7 years.
So did the board come to you and encourage you? Who encouraged you to pursue the superintendency?
I really think Jim Du Bois encouraged okay. me to be the superintendent, or consider the superintendent.
So would you consider him a mentor?
Oh, absolutely. Jim's yeah. a mentor. Yeah. I would say that probably my work dad, though, was George McCullough. Mm. I don't know if you know George McCullough or not, but George had spent his entire career really as a principal of mm-hmm. 2 high schools, Riley High School in South Bend and Washington High School in mm-hmm. South Bend. And I taught for him at Riley. I was part of, again, one of those transitions from building to building
yeah, yeah.
And followed him coincidentally, I think, to Washington High School where he saw me work hard to earn an administrative license.
Yeah.
I think he saw potential in me. You know, I was a young kid. I grew up in Gary, Indiana. And so as a child of a working class family, college was important to my family. Mm. They wanted me to be the first college graduate. We didn't know who went to college because nobody went to college where I grew up at.
Yeah.
But my teachers went to school.
Sure.
And so I chose to be a teacher. And so he saw value in me, and that meant a lot to me.
That's pretty powerful.
Pretty loyal guy.
Yeah.
And so I worked hard for him. He helped grow me into, an effective building level manager. And I think that served me well as I've transitioned into mm-hmm. this leadership role for Bago Community Schools.
You mentioned your wife works for the district, your children attend the district. How do you separate those? Is there separation? So when you come home, I know you're still dad, but you're also superintendent. You're the boss. You're the guy who makes the calls about weather and all of the things. How do you work that balance in your household?
Fortunately, my kids are now aging out of the school, okay. so that's helpful. I've got one at Ball State University, and I have another one who's in the working world. We've worked really hard to separate work from play and work from life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to all of us that we have these careers that are meaningful for us. But my wife is really it's really important to my wife, I think, that we do find separation between yeah. work and home. And so we try to turn it off. If we're honest, you know, she is obviously my most honest critic.
Yes.
And so I would know quickly if I blew it, and I would listen to her.
And she has ears on the ground.
She does. She knows more than most, and she's willing to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And so that's probably valuable. But we do work hard to avoid any belief that there's nepotism going on or anything like that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, she is a interventionist in an elementary school. She has an expertise that I don't have, and she can provide a service to that district that I can't provide. That's good. And, I have other gifts to give. And it's an easy way to separate.
Several layers of separation in the organizational chart between you and her.
That's right. And I would tell her she works for me, but that'd probably get me in trouble. So I won't.
You've not made that mistake. Wise man. Wise man. Having that role and having the family in your district, being in the district as long as you've been, you walk into places and people know the superintendent's in the house. The superintendent's in the building. They're coming into the classroom. Things change when that happens. You get to walk into a ball game. You get to you walk into a store in Jimtown. People know the superintendent's in the store.
That's right? Right.
You go to church. They know where you sit, and they know whether you're at church or not. All of those things. How do you keep humility when you have that level of recognition, notoriety, and respect in your community?
I think that's a double-edged sword too, because you have a responsibility to live up to that expectation. I think we have a responsibility to recognize that people are paying attention, and we have to live to a higher standard. We are servant leaders. Mm-hmm. These are responsibilities that we can't underappreciate. Mm-hmm. People need to see people live and lead by example. We try to be present. I try to be present. I think that's always important. I like to be boots on the ground. I manage by walking around. Mm-hmm. I'd say my leadership team would say I micromanage. I'd like to argue I don't.
To be informed.
I'd like to be informed. I'd like to have my voice heard.
Yeah.
I think I probably earned a right to have my voice heard.
Yeah.
But I also know that people also want theirs heard as well.
Sure.
And so we need to be listening. You know, I work for an elected board.
Yes.
And so that board represents a very small community. Mm-hmm. So word gets around. Mm-hmm. And I have an honest board. I appreciate them. It's evolved quite a bit in 7 years. It's amazing how boards change.
Yes.
And so they ebb and flow. But what's constant in Jimtown is that people care about it. Mm-hmm. It's important to the community. People usually move to Jimtown and stay. Mm-hmm. And so I will probably always be seen as an outsider, even though I've lived there for nearly 20 years. That will never matter. I do feel like I have a responsibility to make it better than I found it and protect it. Mm-hmm. And those are important things that I live by every day. I also make sure that I'm civically involved. I serve currently as the president of the Bago mm-hmm. Lions Club. And so I get told what I need to be doing and what we need to be working on as a community. Happy to do that. That's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to be asked to serve on other boards in our community, including our Chamber of Commerce. And so lots of opportunities to be informed, mm-hmm. to be part of the decision-making process, or at least having a voice, and then trying to, again, make the place better than we mm-hmm. found it. And that's what we all want to do. So
it sounds like many people in your community have gotten to know the multiple sides of Byron Sanders, but not everybody does. Not everybody gets a chance to know that personal side of you, the human side of you. They see you as still as the superintendent. Byron Sanders, the superintendent. What would you like for them to know? If you could just say, here's my heart. Let me peel this open and tell you where I stand. What would you hope people would want to know, or what would you want them to know about Byron Sanders?
Sure. I guess if I was perfectly honest, I'd want them to know that I'm Shelley Sanders' husband. Mm. You know, we've been married for most of our lives. we've grown up together. I'd like to know that I'm Isaac, Abby, and Lucy's dad. They're our most important gift. Mm-hmm. They give us joy. Their success is our success. I'd like them to know, I think, that I'm a pretty avid fisherman. I enjoy that. I have the blessing of living on the St. Joe County or St. Joe River.
Oh, wow.
And I can get up and go as I please.
Just you keep your pole in your collar at all times?
I really don't have to, because I leave it in the boat in the backyard. Okay. And so that's fantastic. I have a healthy competition with the superintendent from Concord Community uh-huh. Schools, Dan Funston. He and I share lots of experiences in life together, one of which is fishing. He's much better at me. I'll never give him credit for that. But he's a wildly successful fisherman. Rumor has it he beat me handedly in high school playing tennis. And so,
do you dispute that?
No,
okay.
I had one really, really good serve, and that's what I choose to remember.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But the truth of the matter is he was a much better tennis player than I ever was. So,
Byron, our last question as we get ready to wrap up here. What does leading with excellence mean to you in the context of public education?
You know, I think that we are lovers and respecters of teaching and learning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is a gift that teachers give their community. I think I have a moral responsibility to protect it. I think that I've been given some gifts that extend past the classroom,
mm-hmm.
Which require that I use those gifts to protect the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I think in many ways public education's at risk today. There's lots of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have to compete with one another, which is unfortunate, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have outside efforts that like to interfere with what is most sacred, which is that act of teaching and learning.
Yeah.
And we have a real responsibility to protect it.
Yeah.
It is my gift I give as a servant leader. It is all I really know. Other than maybe fishing once in a while, it's what I choose to do, and I try to do it to the best of my ability. I try to make sure that I understand what matters to teachers, and I need to know what it's going to take to keep them in those classrooms day after day, year after year, and make sure that we continue to offer that to our public schools and our public communities.
Wow. Byron, thank you for being my guest.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. I always admire you. I appreciate you taking on the challenge of leading the Indiana Association of Public School Parents, our superintendents, and thank you for your time.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Superintendent of the Bago Community Schools, Byron Sanders. Byron's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.